I just have to make sure you're still here with me. I need to know that you're with me. Are you with me today? Yeah. Happy to be in church?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I'm glad you come to church too. It's a whole lot better doing this with you here than if you weren't here. But we're glad. I don't know if I introduced myself earlier. If you're new here and haven't been here before, don't recognize me. My name is Evan. I'm the lead pastor here. And we're just glad that you're here with us. We're glad that you're just checking it out and you're unsure about church and what's right, what's wrong, and whether or not, you know, whatever it is. We're just glad that you're here. And we hope that you find some friends. We hope that you find some family in this time, that you can feel connected and feel cared for. And ultimately, we hope that you meet Jesus. He is the ultimate. He's the one who shapes and changes our lives, and we believe for great things to come from him. And so welcome here. We're carrying on a series called New, and we just started it last week. We're looking at for the next little while the idea that Christianity looked a whole lot different after Jesus than before. Before Jesus showed up, you know, God was moving in powerful ways. He was leading Israel. He was leading his people. They saw some incredible moments. There was a law. There was a way to please him. There was a sacrificial system. There was ways to walk with him, and people understood his promise and all of these things. But Israel kept kind of messing up, and the people found that they weren't able to do everything that they were supposed to be able to do for God. And so God created this different plan. And Jesus showed up on the planet, and Jesus started talking about how he was God in flesh. He was the Son of God. I and my Father are one. We are one. If you're looking at me, you're seeing the Father. If you're looking to the Father, you can look to me. And Jesus started saying this thing that was completely new to everyone at that point. God in flesh. That's different. That's something that we haven't recognized before, but okay. And so he shows himself as God in flesh. But not only that, a little while into his ministry with them, in fact, only 3 years of this process, soon then God in flesh dies on a cross. Well, that was different too. People are like, that's new. That's not something I've seen before. That's not something that we've walked out before. If he was God, how could he die? And it was already hard enough for us to think about God being in flesh, but now death actually seems to connect him more to flesh than God. And so was he actually God in flesh, or who actually was he? And then 3 days later, he rises from the dead, and they say, well, I guess he was God in flesh. Because now here he is. He's not just died, but he's risen from the dead. He starts showing up to the disciples. And as he's showing up to the disciples, and actually even before that time, he starts talking to them about the one who would come, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the counselor, the one that would show up, and things would be different all of a sudden. Things would be changed all of a sudden. Things would be new for them. That this wasn't all of a sudden going to be about God above us or God beside us, but God within us. That God was going to start working through the people who were following Jesus. That the Holy Spirit was actually going to come and move through them. That there were moments of that in the Old Testament and throughout Scripture, but generally there was a sense in the Old Testament that God was somewhere there and big, and he was smoke and he was fire and he was dangerous and it was crazy. And so they were like, he's somewhere up there. And then Jesus comes and says, I'm God. And now they're like, wow, we're beside God. We're walking with God, we're seeing the movements of God, we're getting to follow his actions, we're getting to do some of the things that he's doing because he's near us. And then Jesus, last week we said, Jesus actually died, and when he was going to die, he said, it is better for you if I go. Because God wasn't satisfied with God above us or God beside us, but wanted God within us, God through us, God leading us. God actually empowering our hands, empowering our eyes. I love what Pastor Joel said today about having our eyes open to the wonder of God. It's the Holy Spirit that does that for us. The Holy Spirit in us allows us to see God. It's actually God in us that helps us to see God around us. It's amazing. So all of a sudden, a new thing started happening. We're kind of looking at that new thing for the next few weeks. Last week, we talked about the idea of there was a new road to righteousness. When the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit was going to show them about sin and righteousness and justice and judgment. And you can check that out online if you want to see what we talked about then. But there was a new road to righteousness. This week, we're going to talk about the new power. In Luke 24:49, here's what Jesus said. He said, "I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." I don't know what you think of when you hear about that. Clothed with power. Clothed with power. Like power is put on me. Power becomes who I am. When I was a young guy, a youth age kind of, probably preteen maybe, I was part of a church that was pretty charismatic. We were dreaming of some pretty big things. We were praying pretty hard. And I remember this one time, my pastor at the time, he said, "Hey, if God's power was going to show up in your life, if you were going to see God's power show up in a great way in your life, what would it look like?" And I remember sitting there as a preteen guy with big dreams, sort of unsure of my faith still, but pretty sure if you're talking about power, I want to be powerful. And so I started thinking, like, what would you do, God? What would it look like in my life? And I remember telling my youth pastor, "I think God wants me to fly." You know, that's what it is for me. And I was convinced. I haven't seen it yet, but stay tuned. You know, I was convinced that that's what I was going to do. That's what was going to happen in my life. Heal the sick? Nah. See some salvation? Nah. Pastor a church? Definitely nah. Fly? Oh, that's the one. And so there was actually this moment when I had a dream that I flew. And I was convinced the Lord is speaking to me in my dreams. It's time for me to fly. No joke. I go into my living room. No one's in my house at the time. And I stand up on my couch. I was going to do it. I don't know where I was going to fly to. There was a window right in front of me and a wall over there and a wall over here. But I was convinced now is my moment. You know, I said, "Hey, God just gave me a dream. I've already prayed about it. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that there's power. And so if God's power is going to show up, it's time for me to fly. I just need to take the step of faith." And so I stood on my couch like this, and I can remember the very moment so clearly. I'm like, "God, I believe in you. I trust in you. I believe that this is going to happen. I'm looking for your power to show up in my life, and I'm ready to do this. It's going to happen." And so I'm going to close my eyes, because I know that if I'm going to take a real step of faith, it's got to be with my eyes closed. And when I jump, my feet are not going to touch the ground first. If I have to touch the ground, I promise, Lord, this is a step of faith. And so here I go. Bounce, bounce. And I jump, close my eyes, and lift my hands, and I just float it in the air. Joking, I didn't. Somebody's like, "What really happened?" No, I hit the dirt hard. And boom. Like, I jumped, literally got my feet in the air, like, "Yeah, this is beautiful." Boom. And just like, totally winded myself, totally. I'm like, "Lord, where's your power in my life? You know, where's it? Come on, I need your power to show up. I need to fly already." You know, we all have dreams about what it might look like if God was going to empower us. The Holy Spirit's going to come. Oh, I'm going to become powerful. I'm going to be like healed. Blah. You know, I'm going to be demon out. Like all this stuff. They think of like Marvel comics or like Endgame or whatever it might be. All of a sudden I've got all this power. I'm just going to show up with all this. And some of that probably is true. But all of us have this like hunger for this power if God would move in us. And it's interesting how Jesus actually handles that concept. Because he was the one who just said what we said. He said, God's going to come, he has a promise for you, and he's going to clothe you with power. But he also has some disclaimers once in a while. In John 14:12-17, Jesus speaking again, he says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these." You imagine the disciples in that moment? Yeah, sweet. High fives all around the room. Like, this is the best. Jesus said we're going to do greater things than him. Na, 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 boo, boo. Jesus, we're going to leave you in our dust. You know, they're all just like, I can't even believe it. Yeah, greater things than Jesus. Like, he's walked on water. That's why I thought I was going to fly, by the way. It was actually that moment. I'm like, Jesus, you walked on water. What great thing can I do? Fly, obviously. Greater things than these, he says, because I am going to the Father and I will do whatever you ask. Imagine that moment with the disciples. They're already high-fiving about, like, we're going to do greater things than Jesus. This is the best. I can't even believe it. Do whatever. I'll do whatever you ask. What? He's like our magic genie. Oh, we can do, he'll do whatever we ask him to do. This is awesome. The disciples' minds are probably similar to ours, right? Jesus showed up in your life and says, hey, you'll do greater things than me, and I will do whatever you ask. You probably wouldn't be thinking about spreading the glory of Jesus. You'd probably be thinking about the Lamborghini, you know? Probably be thinking about Rogaine. Be thinking about the clothes that you wish you had, the power that you wish you had. You try to get the Raptors to win in the NBA. You know, you'd be thinking about, like, you'd be trying to manage all of those things. You can do whatever I ask, Jesus. Okay, well, I'll do lots of good things for you, but there's a few things that I'd really like as well. Some money or a house or peace, or maybe it's it's even stronger for you. Maybe it's marriage or kids or jobs or things like that. Maybe there are some things like that. One way or another, when Jesus shows up and he says, I'll do whatever you ask. Right away, your mind starts going and my mind starts going to all the things that I wish I had in my life. All the things if I had all the power that you have, God, if I could do greater things than you, and if I can do whatever, if you'll do whatever I ask, then we all have these ideas of what we would ask for. He says, whatever you ask for in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Hey, that's the point of it, that the Father may be glorified. Many of us want to be clothed with power from on high, but many of us don't know why. Why do I want to be clothed with power? What's going to happen? There was a plan for that. It says, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So the disciples are pumped. Like, yes, this is the best. Jesus has told us we're going to do greater things than him. And he said that we can ask for whatever we want in his name and he will do it. This is awesome. I can't ever see this going wrong. And then Jesus says the very next thing, if you love me, keep my commands. And they're like, killjoy. Jesus, I thought we could do whatever we want. I thought you said we could ask for whatever we want in your name. I thought you said that we would do greater things than you. Greater things than you isn't following your commands. Isn't just doing what you say. Isn't just acting the way you ask us to act. We want to do things powerful and amazing. But Jesus doesn't say, I just want you to do powerful things. He's not just saying, I want you to look like a superhero in your world. He's saying, I want people to see your life and look to me. I want people to recognize the power that's showing up in you and have them recognize they know how serious you are about Jesus. They know how serious you are about your faith. They know how you've walked and how you've taken a grip on sin, how you've allowed. Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit convicting us of our sin. They want to see that person cares about sin. They care about following Jesus. They care about walking in purity. They care about walking in the right way. And they're powerful. Why? Because they're honoring God with their life. The Holy Spirit shows up in power in their lives. He says, keep my commands. And then he says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate. This is when he talks about the Holy Spirit. He says, there's going to be power, but first you have to follow my commands. There's going to be the Holy Spirit, but first you have to walk in the way that I ask you to walk. There's going to be mighty deeds, mighty acts, miraculous signs and wonders that are going to follow your life. But first, I want to see that you'll listen to me, that you'll follow me, that you'll walk with me, that you'll do what I ask you to do. And then I'm going to empower you to do it in bigger ways. I will send another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Now, going back to that verse that we mentioned at the beginning, Luke 24:49. This is Jesus again speaking. He says, I am going to send you what the Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. But stay there. Until the power comes. Look, there's a promise, yes, but stay, and then the power will come. See, Jesus is, sometimes I wonder, why did he want care if they stayed there? Why did that matter? And there's a connection to it. It's a pretty powerful city, a pretty important religious city. There's a connection to some prophecy. But why did he choose? Why stay there? I think God, more than anything, wanted to see that some people, even though they didn't understand it, would be willing to follow him in small ways so that he can empower them in big ways. That they'd be willing to walk out the little details even when they didn't understand. They'd be willing to follow in the little things that weren't quite clear to them so that God could show up and say, since you're willing to follow me in the little things, I want to accomplish some big things through you. Because if you're willing to walk with me in the things that don't even make sense to you, then your life will be one of obedience to me. The world will look to you and not see you, but they'll see me. And so I want them to see a powerful me. The Holy Spirit's going to come in you and you're going to be filled with power in your life. And it's going to glorify Jesus. See, the promise is power, but the problem is patience. He said, you gotta, there's a promise for you, but first you have to stay, and then you'll be filled with power. The promise is power. The problem is patience. Our problem is that, yeah, God, I'll take the power. Come on, hit me. I'm ready to go. I want to start asking for whatever I ask in your name, and it's going to be given to me. Come on, hit me with the power. I'm ready for it. Give me the power. Give me the spirit. Give me the strength. I want to cast out demons. I want to heal the sick. I want to do all those things. I want to. And God says, stay there and wait. How long? Stay. What's going to happen to me? Stay. What will it look like when it comes? Stay. How am I going to behave when I stay? What are you going to call me into after? Stay. Jesus doesn't give them all the information. He says, the promise is good. The power is coming. You just stay. How long? Till I say. Stay till I say. Says it again. The same author that just wrote that says it again in Acts 1:4-5. It says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, this is Jesus, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He says, wait. And if there was anything in this world that we're terrible at, it is waiting. If there's one thing in this world that we think is a waste, it's waiting. We think waiting is wasting. Oh, if I wait, then I'm not doing anything. If I'm not doing anything, I'm not accomplishing anything. If I'm not accomplishing anything, then I must not be of any value. One of the things that we have to, as Christians, if we want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, one of the things we need to start to recognize is that the greatest things we will do in our lives for the glory of God won't be in our power, but His. It won't be in our strength, but in His strength. It's going to be through him. And so we say, well, what should I work for, God? Why don't I get doing something? Why don't I get busy with something? Why don't I solve a few problems while I wait for you? Because we shouldn't just stall here. We shouldn't just wait here. We think that somehow God is going to fall behind. It's like, God, if you don't do something here, we might lose the momentum, you know, or we might lose the vision, or we might lose the direction that we're supposed to go. God, if we don't get moving, then if people don't hear my sermon, or people don't see my action, or people don't see that, and I'm just waiting on you, then what if the people don't remember you anymore? Jesus is like, you think that you preaching or sharing your testimony or sharing whatever it is the thing that's going to change this world? It's you waiting on my power and then walking in it. But waiting takes some obedience and some trust. That's hard. God, can you hurry up and fix this problem? Stay. How long till I say? God, can you, I really need to see this situation resolved. Can you fix it? So you're saying you want my Holy Spirit to move? Yeah, I need your Holy Spirit. I need your power. I need your strength. Can you give it to me? It's like, stay. Yeah, but what if the situation doesn't get solved? And he'll say to you, you're not going to solve it as well as he can. The Holy Spirit is who does the greatest work in your life. The Holy Spirit's who's going to do the greatest work through your life. And Jesus' great commandment to them in this moment isn't like, hey, pray as hard as you can and read as much of the Bible as you possibly can and do all of these things. There is a connection, I think we'll make it in the coming weeks, between holiness and the movement of the Holy Spirit. But there's something to be said for the only thing that Jesus tells them to do. He says, you've seen my life. You've seen who I am. You've seen I've been risen from the dead. There's a new thing I want to do in you. There's a new power I want to accomplish through you. And so all I want you to do is stay put. Stay. I was thinking about a dog while I was considering this concept. Has anyone ever asked a dog to stay? Especially like a puppy. Stay. Walk over here. It's like tripping through your feet. Stay, stay, stay. You're trying to teach a dog to stay, and you have a treat. If you stay, I'll give you this treat, okay? Stay. It comes right with you. Give me that treat. I do my best. I try my best. That's when the Holy Spirit starts moving. So, the dog, you're trying to teach it to stay, and you're like, I will not give you this treat if you don't stay, but if you do stay, I'll give you this treat. Stay. And they come, give me the treat. Why are you not hearing this? If you stay here, I will not give you the treat, or I will give you the treat. If you follow me, I will not. Okay, stay. They follow you. It's like, what are you doing, dog? Like, don't you know that I want to give you a treat? Don't you know that I want to take care of you? Don't you know that I want to bless you? Don't you know that I want to pour out? Don't you know? I think that God is sometimes saying this to us. He's like, I have something for you. It's an empowering that you know nothing of. It's a strengthening that you'll never experience any other way. You'll see signs and wonders in your midst right now, but every great move of God, every great revival of God, every great moment, if you go look reading through revivals, they all start with people stay and pray until I say. Jesus, like, that's how it works. Is you just wait and pray. And are you going to move now? I don't know. We'll pray some more. And God, is it here yet? I don't know. We'll keep praying. We'll keep praying. We'll keep praying until it bursts forth and you can't help it. But we have to learn to stay. Why? Because staying is obedience. I don't teach a dog. When I teach a dog to stay, it's not that I just want to give the dog a treat. It's that I want to see if that dog will start to listen to me. Will you listen? If you'll listen, you get a treat. It's not because I just want to give you this treat. It's because I want to know if when you have that treat, you're going to be obedient to me and go where I ask you to go and do what I ask you to do. If Jesus looks at us and goes, you're not obeying me, you're not following my ways, he says, well, anyways, have the Holy Spirit. And then all of a sudden, we're using the Holy Spirit to exploit ourselves, exploit our strength, exploit the church. Look at what the church is doing. Come on. Church isn't going to do great things. Jesus is going to do great things through the church. You're not going to do great things. Jesus is going to do great things through your life. Sorry if the concept that you've had of your understanding of life is that you need to have something important in this life. Our current culture, the idea of living is doing something important because we don't have the concept of eternity in our hearts. But Jesus comes and says, hey, I want to use your life. You don't get to use your life for what you think is important. I want to use your life for what I think is important. And so if I have you sit and stay and wait, then I know that you're willing to obey me rather than try to accomplish all the things that you think are going to be fulfilling in your life. And at that point, the Holy Spirit's going to come and use you to do everything that I want to do through you, which will include healing, which will include the Spirit moving in great ways, which will include revival and demons being cast out, which will include all of those things. But first, I want to see you obey. So stay and wait until I say. That's what I want to see. I had this little line come to my head. Do not leave and you will receive. That's a doozy. Do not leave and you will receive. I don't think that means for us physically, though sometimes it will be that. Sometimes there will be like a physical, I need to stay in my prayer closet for the next week and a half. And I just got to wait there. Sometimes it will be that. And sometimes the reason that we have to do that is because outside of our prayer closet, there's temptations that are out of control in our lives. There's things that are going crazy in our lives. There's areas in our life that we're not submitting to God. And he just says, I just need to settle you down. I need to have you just wait in that prayer closet. These guys waited in this room in Jerusalem. It's not that they just sat and prayed and that was it. Like, they started figuring out who was going to be in leadership. They started doing all some of that stuff. They're talking. They probably have some questions. Then they spend some time praying. And all of a sudden, God, who has asked them to stay, says, that's enough. Boom. Holy Spirit comes and moves. Empowers them, and the church grows and thrives. And those who a few days ago couldn't even stand beside Jesus, their friend, now is going to go and proclaim Jesus all the way to their own death. The church is going to grow like it never has before. But I pray it would again. So if we want to see the Holy Spirit move new power in our lives, we need to learn patience in our lives. We need to learn to wait when God asks us to wait. To not just do and accomplish, but stop. I'm going to ask you, when was the last time you said, I'm gonna give God these next few hours? I'm just going to sit and wait. Let him speak. So we're like, well, wait a sec. I better get to Netflix. Or there's that show on today. Oh, I better jump to that next thing. It's coming up. Or I've got that thing I need to clean up. I've got that test I've got to study for. I've got that thing I've got to do. I've got all of that. And that's all great. Those are all things that you can do if you want to do those things. But Jesus, I think, sometimes is coming and saying, I want to see that you'll be willing to just wait in my presence, to not accomplish things for me, but allow me to accomplish things for me through you. God wants to do some great work. Worship team, you can come on up. I asked these guys to sing a song today. Thanks for learning this one for us, guys. They jumped on and we're just super flexible to do this. But I want you to learn a pattern of waiting in your life. That's not just in this moment. Holy Spirit doesn't just move when we're all together and when we're collectively in this place. Holy Spirit's going to move in your prayer times on your own. The Holy Spirit's going to move when you're in your car, when you're driving. The Holy Spirit's going to move in ways that you don't understand. Some of us have this limited view of how God's going to move. The Holy Spirit comes, this is what it's going to look like, and we'll wait until that moment. Jesus doesn't say wait until it looks a certain way. The disciples had no idea what it was going to look like. They were like, oh, okay, yeah, once the tongues of fire show up on our heads, boom. They were like, okay, once it sounds like wind is funneling through here, then that's the thing. They were like, okay, once the tongues, once we start speaking in other languages, that's the one, that's the moment that the Holy Spirit's going to move. Jesus just said to them, I want you to wait. I want you to stay where you are. I don't want you to plow through this, thinking that your work is going to accomplish more than what I can do through you. I want you to grow in trust. And once I see that you're obeying me, once I see that you're submitted to me, once I see I have your attention and your schedule and your life, my Holy Spirit is going to move in you. I'm going to empower you. And so wait. The promise is power. The problem is patience. And so this morning, these guys are just going to play a song. It's probably going to be a 7-minute song. Maybe today this is the first 7 minutes that you've waited on the Holy Spirit in a long time. It's going to be a chance for you to allow vision to come into your heart that maybe hasn't been there for a while. Maybe God's going to convict you today and say, hey, there's a few things that you're putting above waiting for me. There's a few things that you're trying to accomplish that I didn't ask you to accomplish. And would you just take 7 minutes, listen to a song that says, Holy Spirit, come, and just allow the Holy Spirit to speak in you how the Holy Spirit would. This is just the time to wait. Just wait before God, because Jesus said so. And at the end of the song, I'll come up, and I'm believing that God will actually have put some things in your heart, some times in your day. Maybe it's in the evening, maybe it's in the morning, maybe it's lunch hour, maybe it's all of the above. Maybe it's a designated week coming up. Maybe it's a designated 24 hours coming up. I don't know what it is, but I'm just going to believe that God's going to have landed something in your heart to show you there's a time coming. And maybe it's tomorrow, maybe it's whatever it is, but you need to learn to wait. And so I'm calling you to be obedient, to wait on me in that coming time. And so allow this 7-minute song and the words that are spoken in the song to allow the Holy Spirit to start speaking in you, moving in you, and teaching you about maybe some new rhythms or some times and some spaces that God would rather you wait than work in your life. So that we might see the Holy Spirit come in power in our individual lives and in the church. So just allow these words to be sung over you. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life, and then we'll wrap up after that. God, we just recognize. We recognize in many ways, even as a church, Lord, we're in a time where we need your Spirit. We need you to move. Your might and your power. Show us as a church, show us as people how to be obedient to you, how to just wait when you ask us to wait, how to listen to your conviction and respond. And as we do, as we wait, as we learn to glorify you in all aspects of our lives, we just invite your Holy Spirit to come and do what only you can do. Come and move with power that only you have for your glory, for the glory of your name here and now and on this island. Jesus, we just ask for your sweet, sweet presence. Thank you for your leading today. Thank you for your teaching today. Thank you for your prompting today. Let us be people that wait. Let us be people that will stay. Let us be people that will follow your commands, because you connected all three of those things to the movement of your Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Lead us. Lead us forward as a church. In Jesus' name we pray. Anybody who believes it today says... Amen. Come on. Hey, let's give Jesus a clap. It's good. He's going to lead us forward. He's got a plan for this church, and you're part of it. So we're glad that you're here today. Let's thank PLBC one more time, can we? Can we thank them for being with us today? It's good to have them. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for continuing on the journey with us. Have a great day today. Go listen to God as he asks you to wait. You wait. You wait on him as long as it takes, and welcome the Holy Spirit to move in your lives. Bye-bye.